From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Well, how the hell are you out there, guys? It's LP Faust, your host this evening. And again, we're kind of over in the studio. We're doing this, with the joyful, I guess, background of the Trading View Troll Box yet again, because, we did do this on Friday, but then we went ahead and rethought things and thought that maybe it'd be better if we'd go ahead and actually get it in the studio because, I just thought that I had a better, sort of like a better result when I was over in the studio. So I got the folks over in the Trading View keeping me warm over here, and the best part about that is it's when you've got, 19-year-olds that are sitting here degen gambling away all the fantastic shit. You know, they're unemployed, sitting in their mom's basement, going ahead and degen gambling their crypto, talking about, hey, man, go for that 100x leverage, but be sure to be patient when you do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's fantastic to go ahead and watch and sort of keep us warm in the background. And if you're ever looking for some great life advice, that's the place to go. You know what I'm saying there?
How about new?
But that being said, right before the show, what winds up happening? I'm sitting here online going ahead and I went to this one particular, I joined this group on Facebook about promote your podcast kind of thing. And basically what it's turned into is it started out as a good thought. And then after that kind of turned into this spam dumping ground where people will go ahead and take the most terrible podcast that they possibly could, sort of projectile vomit them on the floor and tell everyone, hey, look, we've got a free freaking buffet over here. So let me just say this one thing talking about fantastic life advice. There was one guy that was on there that was asking to go ahead and get a bunch of people to subscribe to his podcast so that he could break 100 subscriptions. And I'm sitting there saying, bro, we've all been there at some point in our life as podcasters, right? So I'm going over there and I'm like, let me go ahead and see what his podcast's all about. Well, let me just say this much, okay? If you're thinking about doing another introspective life coach moment from the perspective of a 19-year-old degen life, degen crypto freaking gambler life coach, please rethink that again.
How
okay?
about new?
Just don't go ahead and do that. It's embarrassing, and eventually you'll become a meme that will be just horrible. Horrible to go ahead and relive that moment in your life. Do we all understand where we're coming from?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, man, on with the show. So I spent some time over in my cathedral over at the Rocky Mountains National Park. Now, let me just go ahead and put it in perspective. Where I live versus where that place is about a 2.5-hour drive one direction. So obviously I must like it because, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this shit as often as I do. But I go over there. And, when you're going over there, you got to go ahead and stop and get the coffee. You got to get some water on the way, all that sort of shit. So after the 2.5-hour trip through the mountains to the Rocky Mountain National Park and driving over those fucking moon crater potholes in the in the back roads to go ahead and get to the trailerhead, naturally, your bladder starts to feel a bit like a can of soda that's been left in a paint can shaker for about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying there?
So
the pressure's building up and all that kind of stuff, and you sit there and say, holy fuck, I need to go ahead and find a place to piss, right? Let me just say this much. Old Faithful in Yellowstone couldn't generate the back pressure the likes of which I had happening in my bladder. And I'm saying, very conservatively now, I could have probably power washed the deck stain off of a weather-sealed deck with the back pressure from my urine because, my bladder was so damn full. You know what I'm saying there?
So,
and, of course, was there even, a fucking bathroom to be seen anywhere close by? No, you know what I'm saying?
How about new?
Of course not. So when we finally manage to park and get over to the bathroom, and, of course, it's not just me. It's everybody that they had kept in line waiting to get inside. There's that obligatory line. You know, kind of like the line that you're waiting for, the opening day ride for the newest Disney edition, only, without the guardrail maze and the guest queue, which provides both, like, some sense of order and kind of makes you feel like a rat lost in a maze looking for some cheese. And, like, a pre-show also that kind of pretends to act as some distraction in the queue, right? They put a lot of cool things up. You can go interact with them. And you can pretend like you're not wasting hours of your fucking life in a line waiting for a ride that's only going to go ahead and last, like, I don't know, 2 minutes, something like that. So at any rate, I suppose, though, maybe if you go ahead and stretch your mind a little bit, perhaps like the angry redneck standing in line with their skull-stained wife beaters and preparing to beat the shit out of each other, also with full bladders, after hammering cheap beer on the drive up, well, they might qualify for the pre-show if you thought about it, right? I mean, something along those lines. But at any rate, I suppose the rest of us should have probably asked for, like, a photo and had them, like, autograph some service order from the court so we can at least kind of, like, get that kind of sort of Disney experience of, like, photos and fucking autographs from the characters. You know what I'm talking about, man? That would have been absolutely excellent. And when you get up over to this freaking bathroom after you've been put through all of that shit, right? It's just like boarding a ride at Disney. You go into the community restroom and the shithole at the Wild Basin Trailhead. It's all about theming and experience, just like Walt Disney World. You know what I'm saying? From the prison yard concrete cell with no air conditioner to the essence of fermented human excrement gumbo lingering in the fucking air. You know, all those little things which you know they couldn't give a shit about, they all make that wonderful guest experience. You know what I'm saying there? And of course, much like at Disneyland and Universal Studios, guest safety is always truly at the core of the guest experience. And much like the rides at Disney and Universal Studios, safety signage for the toilet, it's plastered all over the wall in front of you. You know what I'm saying there?
How about new?
I mean, how many fucking places do you go to that it's like, okay, let me go ahead and put a couple of warning signs up on the wall here as you prepare to go ahead and drop Trow and, you know, drop the kids off at the pool or something like that. I mean, how many fucking places, when I go to a restaurant, Carlos, right, is there, like, safety signage to make sure I'm using the fucking John properly? I mean, you know,
no, no, no.
But, of course, you know, this isn't over at the restaurant. This is a whole new experience. Wild bears, wild animals, right? So I'm thinking, okay, they're probably going to give me some safety stuff about how not to get mauled by a bear, how not to have a python crawl up your ass while you're sitting there going ahead and dropping a deuce. Right? Things of that nature. That's what I'm thinking. And of course, you know, there's a few similarities to Disney with these signs on the wall. It's like, please remain seated at the all times. And of course, over at the Wild Basin Trailhead restroom, it says, you know, with that wonderful signage, don't squat on the toilet seat and drop a deuce at the same time, okay? Because that would be bad.
Did
you got it?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Because you know how frequently that is. You just, like, go over into the toilet over in your random restroom, decide to drop Trow, and rather than planting your seat on your ass, you're like, whoa, 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 I got a better idea. How about I go ahead and try and squat a bit over here and try to drop a few depth charges in there, right? That's a common occurrence, right? Or how about this one? Over at Disney, you get, you know, signage that says stuff like, for the comfort of others, please, no food and drink on the ride, right? But when you go over to the Wild Basin freaking Trailhead restroom, instead you get something like, don't shit on the floor. And I mean, did that actually happen, LP? Why, absolutely it did, okay? When you take a look there, you'll see the guy, the figure, the stick figure, right in front of the potty, and instead of going right on the potty, it's squatting down in front and shitting all over the floor because I would imagine that that's probably like, I don't know, like a regular occurrence over there or something like that. So keep in mind, they'd like you to keep some form of civility going on while you're going ahead and doing your business over at the Wild Basin Trailhead, you know, restroom over there. And of course, you know, once you go ahead and finish that experience inside there, which is memorable, unforgettable, make sure to take lots of photos, be sure to get autographs with the characters outside and all that shit, that's when you say, okay, let's go ahead and actually sit here and go hit the trailhead. So we get the family all restroomed out. That experience was fun and memorable. Next thing we know, we're like, all right, let's go hit the trailhead. We got some plans. We're going to go hit the freaking Thunder Falls and all that stuff, or Thunder Lake. We're all like real geeked over there. And of course, at the trailhead, since this is at the beginning of the day, you got like all the Park Service Rangers. They're all like congregated around checking on each of the hikers to find out where they're going, what they're doing, what they're bringing, their sunscreen, their water, you know, shit like that. Kind of like Yogi Bear and a boo-boo version of the TSA. Hey there, boo-boo. But without all that, put your shit in 18 separate bins for the x-ray machine with a complimentary virtual strip search and rectal probe. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, hey, do we get the complimentary reach around over there? I'm just kind of wondering as we go into
How about new?
Of course not. So, you know, we're thinking, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting quizzed. The quizlings are over there. So what are you doing? What are you up to? And we're like, well, you know something. We're thinking that maybe what we'll do is check out the Thunder Lake. I mean, it's like about 6.5 miles away, one way. And then we kind of come to the reality about how likely my son and daughter are to actually complete that hike. So we scale back our expectations a little and we decide, I know we'll go to the Ozu Falls. It's only like 2.5 miles away, one way. And it's more likely. And I'm thinking we have roughly, I don't know, 2 liters of water each. So we should be good for hydration on the trail and such. And then it kind of occurs to me. So I ask Yogi and Boo Boo, hey, is there a bathroom on the trail? Well, both Park Ranger Yogi and Park Ranger Boo Boo assure me, hey, there's a bathroom on the trail. And it's only about 1.8 miles away. It's right next to the Calypso Cascades. So you can't possibly miss it. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking to myself, awesome. But let's stop there for just one second. When I hear the words bathroom or restroom, it conjures certain minimal expectations and images right into my mind immediately. You know, I'm thinking weatherproof building of some kind, perhaps a toilet seat to rest one's ass upon. Perhaps, I don't know, something a little more private and less au naturel than what we actually got. So, of course, after this long-ass hike uphill in the midday summer, holding my water, waiting for the bathroom at the top of this trail, what we got was not a bathroom, okay? What we got is what they so eloquently referred to as the privy.
What the fuck?
Okay, so you're probably asking yourself, what in the hell is a privy, LP Faust? Well, let me help you out with that. So a privy, or the privy, I should say, provided nothing like the restroom in my mind's eye and something more like a sarlacc pit of human refuse straight out of a Star Wars parody, German Scheisser fetish video, complete with a privacy screen made from a few stolen pallets in the back of the 80s, and maybe a few glory holes drilled in for full gonzo effect. That is what a privy is. So, in the event that you're thinking, hey, I'll have some clean sanitary place that's semi-private. Hey, was that what we wound up getting? I'm just wondering.
How about new?
Of course not. Why in the fuck would we? I mean, who in the hell needs toilet tissue or bidet to clean the dinkleberries from your ass when an alternative green and sustainable solution exists? You know, like when the swarm of dung beetles and flies descend on your dirty ass for all-you-can-eat dinkleberry buffet while you're stuck in the awkward dirty butt squat over the privy. That right there is about describes the entire fucking experience, right? And of course, you've got all the flies and all that shit there. You even have to cross these like 3 rickety log bridge kind of thing, jump over that, and make sure that everybody that's over by the fucking alpaca hitch over there, believe it or not, there were a train of alpacas that went through, but I digress, are not sitting there staring at you, potentially taking their camera phones, zooming in, and getting ready to put something up over on Pornhub for you. You know what I'm saying? But on the positive side, it did create a wonderful father-son bonding moment for me. So I go take my son over. He's got to go potty. Oh, my God, Dad, I got to go pee. We get over there. He takes one whiff after we get off the logs. And he's like, oh, my God. And, of course, flies everywhere and all that shit. And he looks at me. He's like, Daddy, I'm not going to go potty there. And I'm like, son, let me tell you something. Bones, brother, because neither am I. Now's a great time to learn how to pee standing up. So, of course, after my son refused to use the Sarlacc pit privy, we took the opportunity to teach him how to pee standing up and sign his own name while taking a piss. How about that? See, that, kids, is a father-son bonding experience. Out over in the mountains somewhere in some undisclosed location, over next to the Sarlacc pit, trying to go ahead and actually, I don't know, figure out what it is that we're going to do to go ahead and go take a piss. And hey, when all else fails, let me tell you, be standing up. Ladies, I'll tell you what, I understand they make a shoehorn for this very problem so that ladies can go ahead and be standing up. And let me say, if you're going to go take an adventure out over in the backwoods, over in the wild Basin Trail, over in Rocky Mountain National Park, what you probably want to do is go get yourself one of those fantastic shoehorns so you too can funnel that pee while standing up and not have to worry about, I don't know, like having a swarm of these flies descend on your ass. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure it'll be squeaky ass clean, but do we really want to go ahead and experience that?
How about new?
Dude, that would be so fucked up. All right, kids, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a break here because things are getting hot and heavy over inside of this fantastic troll box over on Trading View. I'll be right back after a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show on this in-studio recording with no audience except for those on the Trading View that are entertaining me. You're listening to Joculation. I'll tell you what, man. What the hell happened to, like, freaking July here? Because, I don't know, we're, like, about, what, halfway through? Three-quarters of the way through?
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
I mean, like, Halloween is, like, right around the corner. I mean, if you take a look inside any store, I mean, do they really want to go ahead and have anything to do with really any other holiday?
How about new?
Fuck no, man. Halloween's the shit. Hey, kids. It's LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural attaché to the stars, all that sort of shit. You know how it is. So we're having another in-studio episode over here. So it was kind of funny because the last in-studio episode sort of, I guess, drove me to think about redoing that in-studio experience. So I went ahead and had a live show on Friday night. There was all kinds of interesting things that happened on that particular show. But it's starting to make me think that perhaps what's going to happen is the live stream is going to be very different from the actual podcast. So more on that probably another time. We got more show to do because does anybody really want to know what in the hell LP is thinking about doing with his
future? How about new?
No, man, you want it. You're here for fun and laughs. Well, I'll tell you what, kids. I was sitting here going ahead, wandering around the internet completely unescorted, got mugged by this fantastic story over here about a teacher left in stitches after asking her kids to share one thing they should know about them. I mean, shit, is that a loaded question? Be careful what you wish for. So one teacher recently found herself on the receiving end of these sorts of comments after she asked the children in her new class each to write down one thing she thought that, or they thought that she should know about them before teaching them. In a post on Twitter, she wrote, "I asked my new class to write one thing they would like me to know right before we started teaching them." Alongside of this was a photo of one child's reply, which read, "I take a long time to do a poo. My record is 2 hours and 15 minutes.
How dare you?
Dude, that is the most fantastic thing ever. Another person said, "When my son was 6, the teacher asked him to say something about their parents. My kids said when my dad gets out the when my dad gets out the bath, he jumps about and makes his willy dance." I mean, I'm just thinking about what this teacher's going to write inside this kid's yearbook at the end of the school year. You know what I'm saying? Then it struck me all of a sudden how in one statement to his teacher, this kid communicated how seriously he took his time-consuming bowel movements. Think about it, right? It's the intensity, the focus, the attention to the small details. It's everything a star athlete or expert in their field does to become the best at their particular profession, right? Yeah! So when you think about it, this kid could be doing like a whole Michael Jordan Last Dance series on how to take the longest poo you could ever think of taking. Yeah! That's fucking fantastic, right? I mean, all that was missing in this was like a slow motion video sequence of the kid chugging a bunch of like raw eggs and contracting salmonella while the Survivor soundtrack, Eye of the Tiger, starts playing in the background before he hauls ass to the bathroom for his next great poo challenge. Yeah! You know what I mean? It would be motivational. It would be excellent. It would be everything a great docuseries needs to be. And then, of course, it started to make me think. And is it always a bad thing when LP starts thinking about stuff? Probably. But it made me start to think, right? In this day and age of, like, misinformation, this kid should absolutely become the Facebook expert of the competitive long poo bathroom sessions to combat all the harmful misinformation in that community. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
We need a voice. We need a beacon. We need somebody that we can trust. How convenient, then, that Facebook will now let users become experts to cut down on misinformation. It's just yet another attempt to avoid harmful content. See, I mean, say it isn't so, right? So the company said this week that it would let the administrators in its groups appoint experts. Air quotes. Oh, my God.
I mean, what the fuck?
So what this means is that people who run the online communities, which are comprised of everything from, like, housing opportunities to dogs to extremists, the people that run these communities now can choose people within those groups to become an authoritative voice that others can rely upon, an initiative partly designed to stamp out misinformation, right? Do we believe that for a second?
How about new?
How about more like an initiative to pass the buck and make sure that they don't fucking get pinned with the blame? You know what I'm saying? That sounds a little bit more accurate. So, for example, an admin of a group devoted to conspiracy theories or other white supremacy could designate someone within that space to be the voice of reason and the expert, whose posts would be amplified and upon whom everyone else could go ahead and trust. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I leverage? No, I'm not. What in the hell is LP of an expert of? Is there anything out there? I mean, do we have
How about new?
Yeah, I don't think so. There's nothing I can do, but I'm just thinking, right? Is it just me, or does, like, this feel like somebody flipped through, like, the first few chapters of, like, I don't know, The Lord of the Flies, and thought it had some great ideas on how to build your own personal utopia, which could be applied to virtual communities with, like, minimal effort and zero responsibility? Does that sound about right? I mean, I mean, shit, I could just see all the beauty hack community influencers from TikTok kicking the door down like the fucking Kool-Aid man to campaign for the Facebook beauty hack natural selection voice of authority. You know what I'm saying there? Complete with complimentary beasting facials, maybe red solo cups, gorilla glue to their lower lip, and some do-it-yourself Botox so perfect their face has been completely transformed into a living Salvador Dali painting. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, wouldn't this fucking be fantastic?
I mean, what the fuck?
Holy shit. But, before we get ahead of ourselves and focus on the authoritative voices in the communities of the vapid and the ephemeral, we need to focus on an authoritative Facebook expert for a core issue which affects each and every parent. There's a gaping void in the world of children's school lunches and nutrition, but much like what LP does, I'm a solutions-oriented kind of a dude, I think we have a voice of authority who embodies the perfect ideal in this vast and often misunderstood issue. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Blue!
You know it, dead Ric Flair. How about a mom who's blasted for putting non-alcoholic vodka in kids' lunches and then defends herself?
Blue!
She sounds like the authoritative voice of reason we need for this very topic. You know what I'm saying? The mother took to social media where she shared a snap of several lunchboxes filled with a yogurt, sliced apples, cookies, and chocolate muffin next to the can of, like, non-alcoholic vodka placed neatly inside. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, only Ric Flair, the nearly dead Ric Flair, can go ahead and actually give that the freaking dose of, like the exclamation point that it needs. You know what I'm saying? Hey, nearly dead Ric Flair, hit it, bro.
Whoa!
There you go. All right. So, quote, perfect addition to school lunches, too, she wrote on the post, which was later shared to Twitter among all the, quote, outraged parents. The cans, which claim to taste like the real deal, don't actually contain any alcohol at all, and many parents blasted the post as being the wrong message to put out there for the kids.
How dare you?
I can't control other people's sense of humor, she says. Well, we probably don't parent the same, have the same friends, or share similar political views, but that's okay, isn't it? I hope their concern didn't keep them up all night. After all, they have kids to raise, too. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Oh, my God. Non-alcoholic vodka, you say, huh? So basically, like, it's all the worst parts of aged potato juice in a can, complete with a fugly contemporary design. I mean, can we be real for a minute? This shit is basically the Vienna sausage juice of the alcohol-free adult beverage world. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, it's fucking offensive. And I suppose in some ways, it's like the alternative to the Vegemite or Marmite sandwich. Equally offensive aftertaste of ass, but now in an easily consumable, non-alcoholic, low-calorie liquid form. I mean, why have your kids drink milk when you can have them drink offensive alcohol-free aged potato juice? You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's the perfect addition to the school lunches. It like touches all the bases of nutrition, I suppose. And, you know, hey, why not go ahead and like get a bunch of people all worked up over the fact that basically your kids are fucking drinking water. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everyone seems unhappy with the education system, regardless of political persuasion. So, like, why not just offload the responsibility to another expert from one of the 70 million fucking Facebook groups? I'm sorry, 70 million groups in the Facebook retread trash heap. There we go. To pretend that they're the authoritative voice of reason to amplify to everyone. You know what I'm saying? That in and of itself, kids, would be like fucking fantastic. You know what
Somebody's
I'm saying?
Somebody's mad right now.
Yeah, I bet they are. So, as always, LP is here to provide the solutions and remind yourself, it's not necessarily good ones, but you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, right? And I have the perfect candidate who can cut through all this tangled web of misinformation and turn chicken shit into chicken salad. So over at the University of Ottawa, we have a professor pimping out the fact that sex work is the best thing you can do early in your fucking career if you're a young person. There you go, man. These are the kind of values and experts we can get behind. You know what I'm saying there?
I mean, what the fuck?
Absolutely. Good thing this is a fucking satire show, right? All right. So, University of Ottawa adjunct professor and Canadian lawyer Naomi Sayers took to Twitter recently to endorse sex work for, quote, young people, calling it the best thing they can do early in their careers. Quote, unpopular opinion, the best thing people can do early in their careers is do sex work on the side because your early career prospects will be unstable, unpredictable, low pay, likely contract work, and very much exploitative. You know what I'm saying there?
How about new?
That's how capitalism works. People out here saying young people can be exploited in sex work, literally, that's capitalism. And quite literally, that's any kind of work. So I'm thinking for myself over here as I'm listening to this drivel. I'm thinking, you know something? We have missed an opportunity for this woman. She should not be teaching over in college, right? And I'm not sitting here saying, let's advocate censorship and all that sort of shit, right? We don't want to go ahead and make her a victim of cancel culture. Instead, I think she should be the college cap advisor, you know, helping kids lower the bar, set some more realistic goals about their education and all that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying over there? I mean, these are the kinds of things.
How about new?
That we need to go ahead and sort of like, I don't know, encourage in the youth today, right? I mean, who the fuck needs a trade school or education when you can just jump straight on to some on-the-job training with some prostitution or, I don't know, maybe just become a sugar baby in your spare time. You know what I'm saying? These are the kinds of things, the experts that we need out there leading the charge to help get the youth of America the sort of, like, I don't know, indoctrination that they need, right? So remember, kids, go on over to these, like, fucking 40 million Facebook retread groups and start to go ahead and pull together all your fucking advisors and your voices of authority, because it's very important that we go ahead and combat this age of misinformation with, I don't know, more misinformation, because why do we want to go ahead? But it's got to be, like, authenticously authoritative from people that we can know and trust. Why? Because, I don't know, some other person who happened to put a group on Facebook one day suddenly said, hey, you know what? This person's a genius in this particular area. I mean, what could fucking possibly go wrong?
How dare you?
I know, kids. I know. All right, man. I'm going to take a break here. We got to go ahead and watch the markets crash a little more on this side as we're sitting here in the studio, keeping ourselves entertained. Hey, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. And look at that, kids. I mean, we're going into the third segment here, and the show's about to go ahead. I guess we're about a third, what, two-thirds of the way through? Something along those lines. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of stars, all that sort of nonsense. As we're sitting here watching the crypto markets burn, kind of. You know what I'm saying? And what could be better than to go ahead and actually keep ourselves warm by that fire, watching the troll box and watching people just absolutely become flesh-eating assholes. You know what I'm saying? All right, so we can go ahead and take a look over here and see that as time has gone on, pandemics hit, we see that there's suddenly this great big gaping void of creativity over inside the freaking world of, like, Hollywood. But, of course, that's been going on for a little while already. So, I mean,
how dare you?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, my God. I'm actually, like, a fucking huge fan of all the stuff coming out of Hollywood right now. I mean,
that's a scam.
Yeah, I would say so. But that being the case, I mean, nothing speaks more to the truth than things like, for instance, the film Pig just got a film review. Now, if you're not familiar with what Pig is, we'll get into that in just a second. But Nicolas Cage allegedly cooks up one of his finest performances in this gourmet tale of vengeance. I mean, when we look at this, the first thing that comes to my mind.
That's a scam.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But here's the premise of the movie. Ready? Let's get riveted here as we go into our movie phone voice. One random night, Rob's antisocial lifestyle is upended when his beloved hog is stolen through violence. Furious, he concedes, let's get back to this. Let's try this again. One random night, Rob's antisocial lifestyle is upended when his beloved hog is stolen through violence. Furious, he coerces Amir to take him to the city to dig up some answers. Back in the underbelly of Oregon's restaurant industry, populated with clandestine dealings and vicious kingpins, the formerly renowned cook puts his own flesh on the line in exchange for clues. Sarnowski pushes the boundaries of realism ever so slightly for us to comprehend. This is a realm of heightened viscerality where no one bats an eye at Rob's pummeled face. Right. Images of Rob connecting with people from his bygone life are captured with wide shots, amplifying the distance he's deliberately created between those days and his current solitude. And when he's cooking, however, cinematographer Pat Scola from Monsters and Men gets in there with him, almost like a proctologist digging for gold. I mean, a cameraman in a Food Network competition, capturing the rosemary falling on a piece of chicken in extra slow motion.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let's just go ahead and get this straight here, right? Basically, what they've done is they've taken the premise and the story of John Wick, and they've turned around and said, you know, instead of a dog, how about we go ahead and put a pig? And I got a better idea. Instead of him being a contract assassin, let's go ahead and make him a Michelin star cook. And somehow this is a new idea, right? I mean,
How about new?
Fuck no, man. This is a fucking disaster, in my opinion. What in the fuck kind of movie is this? Nick Cage, listen. I don't care how well you act, sir. The fact that this is basically, I mean, using such phrases as back in the underbelly of Oregon's restaurant industry, as though there are people out there illegally dealing like fucking foie gras and whale belly, in the back corners of the fucking best parts of Oregon over there in wine country or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Dude, come on now.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, seriously, bro. What's next, Hollywood? A Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot with fucking Bobby Flay and Giada De Laurentiis with, like, a cheeky gourmet twist? I mean, it's not bad enough that, like, first they get busted having an affair with each other. They get into messy divorces. And then the Food Network comes around and says, I got an idea. How about we go ahead and have both of you go over to Italy so that Giada can take you around all over Italy, visit with her family and stuff like that. And I don't know, you guys can have some, like, wild, crazy fucking affairs in all of these different countries. I mean, that is a fucking premise for a great porn film, I'm thinking, right? Let's push Bobby Flay aside because who in the fuck wants to see him? But outside of that, Giada is somebody, sure, go ahead and do that. We'll put him in wine country. We'll pretend it's there for the female market. You know what I'm saying. We'll go ahead and do all that sort of shit. And we'll put a sneaky gourmet twist in there. I don't know. Have them roll around in truffles before they go ahead and go at it with each other. Because, you know, the wonderful thing about truffles is, in small amounts, they are fantastically delicious. But, like, when you go ahead and douse something in truffle oil, bro, it's like you opened up somebody's, like, gym bag full of their sweat socks from the gym, and somehow that's gourmet. You know what I'm saying there? But I digress. I mean, look at it, man. We could go ahead, it would be like a cook's journey with fucking, like, Anthony Bourdain. We'll go ahead and have, like, slow-mo cooking sequences like the fucking Fox TV series Hannibal. And it could be narrated by like a deepfake Anthony Bourdain, because have they done that in the past? I mean, hey, great segue there, LP. Tell me about it. You didn't know that over in Anthony Bourdain's new documentary, they went ahead and deepfaked his voice? I'm just saying, you know, you listen to it.
That's a scam.
And it's one of those things. So apparently in his new documentary that just came out, Roadrunner, which was about the life and tragic death of Anthony Bourdain, filmmaker Morgan Neville used AI technology to digitally recreate Anthony Bourdain's voice and have the software synthesize the audio of three quotes from the late chef and television host, Neville told The New Yorker. The deepfake voice was discovered when The New Yorker's Helen Rosner asked how the filmmaker got a clip of Anthony Bourdain's voice reading an email he had sent to a friend. Neville just casually kind of said he contacted an AI company and, you know, supplied it with a dozen hours of, like, fucking Bourdain speaking. I'm just wondering, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
But, of course, when asked whether it's ethical to clone a dead person's voice and have them say things that they hadn't when they were alive is another question, and which Neville doesn't seem really all that concerned with. When asked directly, hey, do you think that there might be a little bit of an ethical challenge out there? Did he come out, you know, immediately and, you know.
How about new?
No, what he said is something a little more flippant. We can have a documentary ethics panel about it later because, you know, I got to go ahead and make millions now. You know what I'm saying there?
That's a scam.
Pretty much that's what he said, allegedly, according to this particular article, at least. So we could go ahead and basically deepfake Anthony Bourdain's voice. Put in all things. In fact, why not just go ahead and deepfake Anthony Bourdain's voice and stick him in Siri? Or even better yet, why don't you put him on your, like, fucking Google Map Quest kind of thing so he could drive around and give you some fucking directions and you two could feel like you're on some fantastic adventure with fucking Anthony Bourdain.
How about you?
The dead Anthony Bourdain. He could be like Jiminy Cricket and be your fucking conscience and your guide. And, I mean, would that at all be unethical? I'm kind of wondering over here, just asking for a friend.
No.
Yeah, apparently not, according to this, you know, corpse fucker over here. But I'll tell you what, who in the hell would want to go ahead and actually watch Pig, right? Who in the hell thinks that this is a fucking compelling story when we have something so much more compelling that should become a TV docuseries or perhaps a drama made from real-life historical moments? Like when the Wyoming farmer who survived on Keystone Light for 2 days after getting pinned to his ATV got rescued. So apparently Frank Reynolds, who is 53, was trying to round up a cow and a calf on a neighbor's pasture outside Gillette when the vehicle tipped over on him. His family thought Reynolds had gone camping or was out with friends. However, later Monday they began to worry. Eventually they learned Reynolds had planned to do some work on the property where he was laying with a dislocated shoulder and broken ribs. So we've got him sitting there, hanging on for dear life as his ATV is on top of him. Broken ribs, broken shoulder. Is he giving in? Is he ready to go ahead and just call it quits over there? Huh?
No.
No. Our hero first honked the ATV's horn so much he wore down the battery. And did that help him out? I mean, did he get rescued?
How about new?
So he was left to his own devices. Fortunately, he was able to ration a couple bottles of water and Keystone Light beers from the cooler. I mean, how redneck could that be? I mean, who in the fuck drinks Keystone Light, all right? Does anybody know what Keystone Light is? Have you ever heard of that brand?
How about new?
Now, he could have been a hipster cowboy had he been drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon. But, I digress, he has no taste. We went ahead and took a look at this.
How dare you?
Saw that he was drinking Keystone Light. I'm sure that it's got some, like, I don't know, offensive connotations to some people over there. Next thing we know, we're looking at him thinking, is this guy a real cowboy? And of course, you know, probably not. But neighbor Don Ham found him around 8 a.m. Tuesday morning. And by that point, Reynolds recalled that he was pretty much out of it. However, the good news is he was expected to remain in the hospital a few more days to recover. And guess what, kids? He's going to go ahead and make an absolute full recovery. Isn't that awesome? See, this is that warm, feel-good moment type of story that we need. That Pig stuff over there. Maybe if we threw a couple of deep-faked Anthony Bourdain things inside of it, you know, maybe that would actually go ahead.
No.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't do it. We need some sort of a movie that's compelling, that will actually be gripping, based on some true life events, all that kind of shit that makes Hollywood sit there and say, hey, guess what? We should go ahead and produce this. Why? I'm just...
What the fuck happened to this world?
No. Why should we produce this one movie
over
here?
I like money.
Yeah, I know, because I like money too. So, all right, kids. I'm a little parched over here. We're going to watch the markets burn for a second here. We'll go ahead and take a break here. After that, we're going to wrap up. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. All right, kids. Hey, LP Faust back over here again. We're going to go ahead and do a wrap-up here. Great to have you all come out here. First, before I get to the wrap-up, I want to thank everybody who has gone ahead and been a listener, who comes by, listens, supports the show. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate everybody that hits the live show and all those of you that can make it to the podcast, because either way, you're supporting me, and I want to say thank you. So, kids, let's go ahead and get into the wrap-up here. So we started out where we were discussing, hey, listen, if you're a 19-year-old with a bunch of life coaching things that you're looking for people to go ahead and listen to the podcast, let's go ahead and rethink that, shall we? Because, I mean,
how about new?
That's not such a good idea. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, we went ahead and talked about LP's recent trip out over to the mountains, what it was like on my endless quest for a restroom. Not a privy, a restroom. I'd like a place with a couple walls, a few things like that. We're discussing a little more truth in advertising and our own experience. And, of course, at the end of that, we had that fantastic father-son bonding experience where I helped my son learn how to go ahead and sign his name with his dick as he's peeing. That's the most wonderful experience ever. It's like a coming-of-age movie. You know what I'm saying over there? You got to go ahead and do that. If only we had some snow. Well, maybe next time. So after we went through that, we went ahead and discussed how a teacher went and asked her kids what was one thing she should know about them. And, of course, we had a kid discuss how, you know, he was effectively a record holder of his longest poo, which was 2 hours and 15 minutes. And, of course, we needed a Rocky soundtrack to that whole thing, you know, because...
that's a scam!
Although it'd probably be more entertaining than Rocky, but I'm just saying. And then we discussed what it was like to go ahead, that Facebook is now basically tapping community creators to effectively promote people to authoritative voices to amplify throughout the ecosystem of Facebook, because nothing helps disinformation and misinformation spread like herpes, quite like just picking some random person out of your group because you happen to create a group. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, hey.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And of course, in addition to amplifying and helping that shit spread, we went ahead and talked about a few experts that we would thought would be excellent there. So, for instance, we put one expert out there for, you know, school lunches. It was a mother who decided to include and pack next to the chips and alcohol and all that other stuff, a non-alcoholic version of vodka, because what could be more offensive than, you know, like aged potato juice with like zero alcoholic content? And of course, in the end, the kid's going to look at that, stare at the can, get all offended and say, "Mom, what are you doing? Next time, give me real alcohol," right? We want those little ones that you go ahead and slam down when we're on the airplane. And of course, the other expert we put forth to everybody is the University of Ottawa professor who says that sex work is the best thing that you can do when you're a young person. Because why on earth would you go ahead and actually struggle to build up skills, a reputation, all that stuff, when you could just go for the easy money, right? I mean, these are the voices that we need to go ahead and have in today's day and age. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what the fuck happened to this world?
Tell me about it. Then we went on to talk about the wonderful joy of Pig, the movie, and what a wonderful piece of, like, cinematic awesomeness this is allegedly going to be. And do we believe that for 1 second? I'm just wondering.
How about new?
Probably not. So from that, we said, you know what would have probably made it better is if we went ahead and got the deepfake Anthony Bourdain voice that they've got over on Roadrunner. But, of course, that might go ahead and put us into some ethics issues. And, you know, then what winds up happening is, I like money, too. But you wind up offending people. When you offend people, you know.
Somebody's mad right now.
Uh-huh. So then from there, of course, we decided to go ahead and talk about a more compelling story, like the Wyoming farmer who survived on Keystone Light for 2 days after getting pinned under his ATV. And I mean, does anybody even drink this shit?
How about new?
Does anybody know what this shit probably is? I mean, have you heard of this brand?
No.
But if it was Pabst Blue Ribbon and we changed a few things around, it might sell over in the theaters, and of course Hollywood would jump on it, like the corpse fuckers that they are. So, you know, it is what it is, allegedly, right? So that's all we got, kids. There is no more this evening. To everybody that's listening to the podcast, I appreciate it. To everybody that came out to the live show earlier in the series, which this podcast is not a recording of, thanks for going ahead and supporting the show. I appreciate all the help, all the good fortune, all the people going ahead and enjoying the content I'm producing. And you know what? I look forward to doing it each and every week. So you can always catch a new episode here every Wednesday. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Going to go ahead and check out this evening. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret on the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? Take care, kids. Good evening. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.